of the deputy city administrator in charge of that area of the city, saying basically there is not a permit to revoke. This is a conditional use. That's the kind of thing where, you know, say somebody wanted to open a McDonald's in the South Waterfront, just for example, they would go through this conditional use thing and say, does this actually fit kind of the vibe of the neighborhood? The conditional use is a sort of vibes based thing. Is this kind of what this area is intended to be? And, you know, that permit, strangely, you know, goes to the federal government in this way. There's not a whole lot that the city can do in that regard because it's a tenant. The tenant is the federal government, which is the federal government, you know? And anyways, the point being that if the city was to receive a complaint about the tenants at the ICE facility, in this case, the federal government, violating the rules of that conditional use, then the city could open an investigation. The federal government has to let them into the building. If the federal government doesn't let them in, they go to the circuit court and ask for a warrant to get into the building so that they could find whether or not they violated that conditional use, in which case they could start to levy fines against the tenant. But still, there's no permit to revoke there. It's just a daily fine. This is something that the city did back in 2020 when the feds put up a big fence outside the federal courthouse and they were blocking a bike lane. So there are ways of trying to hold the government accountable, but just simply revoking a permit is not one of them. And I know that that is like a very something that will potentially make a lot of people angry. It's just where things are at. And then there's another, you know, a land use statement that could be that the city council, if in another world that we can all imagine, you know, if they find some violations of that, then the city council could try to pull some of those decisions. It's really complicated. It can be super boring. And I think it also kind of goes back to that, you know, thing we were talking about earlier about how the bureaucratic sort of things can lead to these, you know, really terrible violences, because they're so sticky. Just bureaucracy is just so sticky and messy, that this just isn't quite as simple as it might seem as just pulling a permit.
Right.
I don't know. I'll add, I don't know if anyone is going to stick with me on what I just said about permits.
So despite how complicated and convoluted that process is, and the fact that it probably can't actually result in the ICE facility moving out of Portland, the first step has been taken in this process, right? A complaint has been filed, actually multiple, right?
Yeah, there were two complaints filed on July 21st. This is sort of just after some of this information about how the city might challenge this conditional use came out. And so, yeah, July 21st, they received two complaints and they alleging violations of the conditional use. And then the city initiated those steps outlined in that process that I just talked about, which came from a memo that we got through public records. It's one of those things where it's kind of maybe starting a process that may not have the kind of outcome that people are hoping for, but it is moving along in a certain way, and this sort of slow bureaucratic stuff and trying to hold the, you know, the US government accountable for, you know, local land use laws, you know, is a long process. It's not something that's going to happen quickly. And, you know, to sort of end that, I think what's really interesting here in this story is that the city, the neighbors, you know, the community in general is, in light of that, trying to be creative in how it can address actual problems for actual human beings, even in the midst of some like very lofty and like very well-intentioned things to hold the federal government accountable. This is fascism, and people are doing everything that they can to stop things in a big way. And then there's all these other like really, really the minutiae of the thing. People are really getting creative in that area.
Yeah, there are other measures being taken to sort of protect the residents of Portland or other pathways investigated. And one of those, right, is city councilors are considering banning the use of tear gas altogether. So, what are the steps to doing that look like?
There are a few committees that are looking at this. It's come up in a presentation recently in the Public Safety Committee about Oregon's and Portland's sanctuary laws. The federal government, I think we all understand the federal government at this point in time appears to be able to do anything it wants, and no one is stopping them. But I spoke with Councillor Samir Kanal from District 2, and he said that's not really a reason not to try. And they're looking into through the climate.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, happy Wednesday. We've got a lot to do today, a lot to talk about today. In the second hour of our program, Congressman Pocan will be with us, typically on a Wednesday or every other Wednesday. He's in the first hour. We call it Middays with Mark. He's going to join us in the second hour. In our third hour, Malcolm Nance is going to drop by, the former spy, to talk about Trump and Putin, and here comes the betrayal. In our first hour, I want to get into this strongman's test run and why the next deployment will be bigger, longer, and deadlier. And Trump says, I need a big thing to distract from Epstein. He's like calling everyone he knows. I mean, this is like downright strange stuff going on. So let's talk about